أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته الأقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة فلا تظلم نفس شيئا صلوات اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. We have been talking about محاسبة النفس and holding ourselves accountable in the holy month of Muharram and in the month of Safar. And in the last night's speech, I talked to you about one of those things which have the heaviest weight in the mizan and the scale on the Day of Judgment. And today we will talk about further regarding those things that have more weight in the mizan. Mizan is the scale that is engulfing the east and the west. It's between the east and the west, and our hasanat will be weighed, and our sayyiat, the bad deeds, don't deserve to be weighed, because as a matter of fact none of the bad deeds carry any weight whatsoever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, there is no weight for the bad deeds, and thus there is no wazn available for the bad ones. So we have hadith from the Holy Prophet that I mentioned to you about one of those heaviest things in the mizan, which is the husnul khulq, the good morals. And today we will talk about another hadith from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Ma fil mizan shay'un asqal من الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
There is nothing in the mizan, in the scale, which has more weight than sending your salawat on the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Well, everything has a sayyid and a leader. The Sayyid of the prophets and the messengers is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam being Sayyidul Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen, and the Sayyid and leader of all the deputies, the Awsiya, the deputies. Every prophet used to have a deputy, at least one. Isn't it right? Some of the prophets had several deputies, one after the other, not at the same time. Just another very important point to keep in your mind. There's only one deputy of a prophet at one time. You cannot find two deputies at one time. It's impossible. Never happened throughout the history of humanity. Prophet Harun alayhi salam was the Khalifa and Wasi and deputy of Prophet Musa at one time. And he died in the life of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And after his death, Allah is the one who appoints the prophets and their deputies, not the humans. Isn't that right? That's the difference between us and the rest of the sects of Islam, who believe Prophet left up to the people to decide the deputy of the Holy Prophet. Whereas we are the ones who believe that no human has the power to appoint any prophet or any messenger or his deputy. That's the most fundamental difference between us and the rest of the sects. So Prophet Harun died in the life of Prophet Musa, and after that Allah appointed Yusha bin Nun, Joshua, to be the next Khalifa and Wasi of Prophet Musa. So the principle was never hurt. The principle of Allah says there's one deputy at a time. Isn't it right? And the same applies for the Holy Prophet. It is one of those khasa'is that we keep on talking about in our speeches, that we have, despite the fact we believe all our masumeen, a'imma alayhim as-salam, all of them are from one nur, but still, having said that, each of those imams have certain specific attributes which are not found in the other. And this is one of the long list of specific attributes of Imam Ali alayhi salam, that he is the only ma'soom who is Khalifa bila fasl and direct deputy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam is Khalifa bil wasita. He's a Khalifa through the means of Imam Ali alayhi salam, not directly. He's an indirect Khalifa of Rasulullah. Imam Al Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Hassan is actually the Khalifa of Imam Ali alayhi salam directly. And likewise, Imam Al Hussein alayhi salam is the Khalifa of Imam Al Hassan alayhi salam directly, and indirectly the Khalifa of Rasulullah in our belief system. And Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam is the Khalifa directly of Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam, and indirectly the Khalifa of Rasulullah. All of them are indirectly the Khalifa. Isn't it right? So at one person is the Khalifa, not two. You cannot say Imam Al-Hasan and Imam Ali both were at the same time, after the Holy Prophet, they were both enjoying the mansab of walayat and khilafat, and they were, practically both were the rulers at the same time. And that never happened. Imam Ali was the Mawla and ruler, and Imam Hasan was obeying his father. Imam Hasan never said to the people, "Hey guys, stop following my dad, because you know what? My knowledge and infallibility and ismat and taharatul qalb, cleanliness of the soul, and everything is exactly similar to my dad," which it is similar, but as a matter of principles, one person at a time sits on the mansab and position of Allah, position of imamat and walayat. So all of them have the same levels of the same darajat and same ilm and same ismat, but Imam Ali is the Mawla and Imam Hasan is obeying him and not decentralizing his leadership by saying, "Hey guys, follow me because my knowledge is equal." The same you find, Imam Hussein was also available in the same time. He never said to the people, "Stop following my dad because my knowledge is equal to him." Instead, he was strengthening the leadership of one leader at a time. Islam has one leader at a time. And the same applies for the time of Ghaybat. Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Islam, who is our Mawla and leader today, isn't it right? It's one leader at a time. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salawat.
And the same applies for his deputy. There's one mushtahid al-jami' lish-shara'it, who fulfills all the conditions mentioned in the hadith of Imam Sahib Zaman alayhi salam better than the rest. There's so several mujtahids who can fulfill the conditions, but who fulfills better than the rest? Whoever fulfills all the conditions better than the rest is the na'ib of Imam Sahib Zaman alayhi salam. There cannot be two na'ibs at one time. We cannot reinvent the wheel. You cannot change the Sharia. We cannot do tahrif. We are not Yahud and Nasara to change the laws of the Sharia of Ahlul Bayt. Isn't it right? There's one mujtahid who fulfills the conditions mentioned in the hadith of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam about his na'ib, about the mujtahid in the time of ghaybat. Whoever fulfills those conditions better than all the rest, he's the one who is a na'ibul am, the deputy. Now, who fulfills the conditions better than the rest? Let's go by the books. Let's go by the principles. Let us allow the Ahlul Khibra. Isn't it right? We, the Shias, have been doing the taqleed since 1200 years. 12 centuries. Nothing new for us. Isn't it right? Those who never used to do taqleed, ignorant people, we are not talking about them. Those who have been doing the taqleed, they know it. We have been, going by the principle of the Sharia to follow the witnesses, two adil witnesses of Ahlul Khibra. Please say salawat. Coming back to the point that I was mentioning, that everything has a Sayyid and leader, and the Sayyid and leader of all the Awsiya and deputies of all the prophets, among all the deputies of all the prophets of God, the Sayyid and the leader of all is Imam Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. We call him Sayyidul Awsiya. Isn't it right? And likewise, he is Sayyidul A'imma. He is the leader of all the Imams. Isn't it right? Even among the prophets, they are darajat. The prophet is the most superior of all the messengers. Tilka Rusul, Quran says, Tilka Rusul faddalna ba'dahum ala ba'd. So Allah is the one who is telling us about him giving fadilat and superiority to some messengers over the other. It's Allah teaching us in Quran. Not everyone is equal in their status. Isn't it right? Our Rasulullah is the most superior of all. And likewise, even in the Ahlul Bayt, the rest of the members of Ahlul Bayt and the 12 Imams, we believe all of them are part of a Nur, have same knowledge and same ismat. Isn't it right? Same level of walayatun takwiniya al-mutlaqa. But Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam is the most superior among rest of the 11 Imams of Ahlul Bayt. Because Prophet says that al-Hasan wal-Husayn Sayyida Shabab Ahlil Jannah wa Abuhuma Khairum Minhuma. Hassan and Hussein are the two leaders of the paradise, and their father is better than them. So Prophet is telling us that Imam Ali alayhi salam is better than Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam. And some of our narrations, if you look at all the narrations that we have about Ahlul Bayt, again, despite the fact we believe their ilm is similar, their knowledge is similar, their ismat and infallibility is similar, their walayatun takwiniya al-mutlaqa is similar, their taharat and cleanliness is similar, but, if in the light of some of the narrations we learn that al-khamsa at-tayyiba, panchtani pak, are superior than the rest of the 9 imams. So, we find that obviously, Imam Ali alayhi salam is the leader of the A'imma. He's Sayyidul Awsiya and Sayyidul A'imma and Amirul Mu'mineen. Likewise, among the ladies, the leader of all the ladies of the universe is Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen, Hazrat Fatimatul Zahra, salamu Allah alayha. When someone asked the Holy Prophet about Virgin Mary, Prophet said, "Kanat Sayyidata Nisa'i Alamiha." She was the leader of the ladies of her time. Amma ibnati Fatima, fahiya Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen min al-awwalina wal-akhirin. So my daughter Fatima is the leader of the ladies of all the times, all the worlds, from the earlier generations, wal akhirin, and the later generations. So she is the leader of all the women of all times. No one can be her parallel. So she is a Sayyidatun Nisa. And likewise, we find that the leader of all the angels of Allah is Jibreel, Sayyidul Malaika. That's how we call it, isn't it right? So likewise, for the leader of all the months is month of Ramadan, which is the only month mentioned in the Holy Quran. By name is the month of Ramadan. That's the Sayyidul Shuhur, leader of all the months. Leader of all the days of the week is Yawmul Jum'ah, Sayyidul Ayyam we call it, isn't it right? Sayyidul Ayyam. So everything has a leader in Islam. Everything has a head. Our religion is the walayat and imamat and leadership focused religion. Everything of our religion is, it gets down to walayat, you know, like they say in English, all roads lead to Rome. In Islam of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, we say all roads lead to the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. It's a religion of the walayat of Ahlul, supremacy and imamat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. That's how Islam is. I remember Imam al-Khumayni ridwanullah alayhi used to say that fiqh, hukumat falsafiyye, amaliye, for those of you who can speak Farsi in my audience, hukumat falsafiye amaliye tamamiye fiqas. Governance is the practical philosophy of our entire fiqh and jurisprudence of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Because every chapter of Islam, you look into the, any chapter, pick up any of those 200 plus chapters, and you find Allah is asking, doing the irja' ilal hakim al-shari'i, ruju' ilal hakim al-shari'i. This is something, you turn towards the Islamic leader, Islamic ruler, Islam, let the Islamic ruler decide. This thing has to be decided by Islamic ruler. Every other page you find, Allah is asking in our books of fiqh, turn to the Islamic ruler. This is something decided by Islamic ruler. It takes a person to be blind to say that Islam has nothing to do with hukumat. Literally, you have to be blind to turn your blind eye to all those pages of our Islamic jurisprudence where every now and then Allah is asking you in every other matter to turn towards al-hakim al-shari'i. So he is rightful to say our fiqh is molded to take us towards the Islamic governance and the governance of the justice of Allah. Al-adalatul ijtima'i. So in Islam, we find that there's everything has a leader, and even today we have one leader, one mujtahid. We respect everyone, isn't it right? We respect all those scholars, but one mujtahid has the status of being the naib of the imam, not two. We cannot go against the principles of Ahlul Bayt and Anbiya and A'imma. Even in the time of the lesser absence period, Al-Ghaybatul Sughra, Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Islam appointed one An-Na'ib al-Khas, one specifically appointed deputy at one time. There were four in total, isn't it right? But four were not appointed simultaneously at one time. When one is passing away, the second one is appointed by the Imam. Isn't it right? Can you find two Na'ib al-Khas at one time? It never happened. Never happened throughout the history of humanity. Isn't it right? So we need to be very clear that there's one leader at one time. You cannot have two. So we find that everything has a leader. Even if three people go out on a trip, Islam says, إِذَا خَرَجَ سَلَاسَةٌ فَلْيُؤَمِّرُوا أَحَدَهُمْ. Three people go on a trip, they must make one to be their commander. On a regular trip, you would plan to go to San Francisco from here, for example. Our religion of Ahlul Bayt is teaching us when three people are moving out on any trip, you need to make one of those three to be your leader of the trip. Islam is a religion of walayat and hukumat and leadership. So Ahlul Bayt teach us, isn't it right? If you are two people going out on a trip, make one of the two to be your leader, listen to him. That's the way it works in our world. Everything, if we have a leader phenomena that is reflected everywhere of our, every part of our Sharia. So likewise, Sayyidul Azkar, our scholars and Urafa say, the most superior, the leader of all the phrases of remembrance of Allah. Zikr means of remembrance. You know, you say the zikr, the phrase of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all the azkar is the plural. All the phrases of remembrance of Allah, all of them are great. But the leader of all those azkar and phrases of remembrance of Allah is Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
There is no zikr of Allah which is higher than that. This is the Sayyidul Azkar. And you know, this is called the Sayyidul Azkar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says in the Holy Quran, Ya inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So Allah and His angels, yusalluna. Yusalluna is a tense of mudari' in Arabic. And our scholars of tafsir say the tense of mudari' indicates towards dawam and istimrar. Something which is performed constantly, consistently, non-stop. Something which is done non-stop. So this means it proves Allah is non-stop sending His salawat. Non-stop. Yusalluna. It's something He continuously does. And then He's asking others. He Himself is doing something. He has a right to ask others. Isn't it right? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O you who believe, then you send salawat. Sallu alayhi. Salawat on Him. Wa sallimu and salam taslima. The way it is said. So this is how we find in the tafsir when this verse was revealed, the angels of Allah asked, you asked us to do the tasbih and taqdees of yours. Angels are doing tasbih and taqdees, isn't it right? Although they never knew how to do the tasbih and taqdees, they were ignorant. Angels were ignorant about how to do the tasbih and taqdees. The hadith from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam teaches us, sabbahna fa sabbahatil malaika. We did the tasbih and then the angels did the tasbih. So basically angels learned how to do the tasbih from the noor of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So angels said to Allah when this verse was revealed that you asked us to send to do the tasbih and taqdees of yours. Now you are asking us to do the salawat. That means, in other words, how can we do all those things together? Allah replied back to the angels, decrease from my tasbih and add in the salawat over Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Look at the importance. Look at the importance. Why our scholars say that this is the Sayyidul Azkar. Allah is asking His angels to decrease His own tasbih and instead say the salawat. In that time over the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So we find that there is another hadith that teaches us, we are talking about those of the things which increase the weight of your hasanat and they are saqeel and weighty and the scale on the Day of Judgment. Here is another hadith that teaches us that the mizan and scale has eight things as weighty. Obviously, the first of all is the husnul khulq. We already talked about that last night. Good morality. And then the salat. The prayers. And third of all is la ilaha illallah. That means the zikr of la ilaha illallah, which is considered to be, you know, the best of the azkar on its, from its own perspective, is the best of the azkar. And not only that, but this is the that zikr of Allah which doesn't engage your lips. So if you keep on saying la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, your lips never move. So that's what our Urafa say, it's a zikrun khafi, not a zikrun jali. It's a hidden phrase of remembrance. What's the benefit of Zikrul Khafi? You can keep on saying it every now and then. No one on the planet would discover that you are doing the Zikr. So there's no possibility of Riya and showing off. This is the blessing, this is the benefit of Zikrun Khafi. La ilaha illallah. Isn't it right? So this is also one of those things that makes the mizan heavy for us on the Day of Judgment. Fourth of all is the love and the walayat of Amirul Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. The more a person has the love towards him, because his love is again is the criteria. Hubbuka iman wa bughduka kufrun wa nifaq. Your love is the faith. The shortest description of iman in Islam is to love Imam Ali alayhi salam. Everything else is included in the package. Your taqwa, your zuhud, your akhlaq, your prayers and fasting and khums and zakat and jihad and amr, you name it, everything of the religion, starting from your tawheed, starting from the adl and the nubuwwat and imam, everything from usuluddin and furuuddin, everything is summarized in one thing, which is the love of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
So it's the icon of Islam, which is equal to the love of Rasulullah, which is equal to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam has said in his hadith, Haliddinu illa al-hub. Somebody came to the Imam and said, we name our children in your names. This is obviously a value that we give to the soul of my child. Some people put weird names just because it sounds nice. Forget about how it sounds to you or me, right? Are we the criteria? Are we here to please the people? How are the non-Muslims would read the name of my child when he goes to school? Oh, so you want to make sure how the non-Muslims care. Isn't it right? Is that the criteria and preference in your eyes? This is, I'm sorry to say, in some of those instances and some of those weird names are really insult to the spirituality of your child. If you name those kind of silly names, which is not in sync and not harmonious to his iman, this soul that you are naming, you're not naming his body only. Remember that, you're naming his soul. And soul is the watan and hometown of his iman, his taqwa, his zuhud, his wara, his akhlaq, and every value of Islam. And none of the values have anything parallel in this dunya that can parallel its weight. So if you want to give value to the soul of your daughter or son, isn't it right? Then you have to make sure, give a name that fits the iman and value system. It has some meaningfulness. And the best of the names, obviously, are the names of the Ahlul Bayt and the prophets and their deputies. Please say salawat. So this person said to the Imam, we name our children in the name of yours. Is that going to benefit us somehow? And Imam al-Baqir replied, Haliddinu illa al-hub? Is religion something other than the love? Other than love? So basically, this is what religion is. Isn't it right? Our religion obliges us to show our love and do our love and fulfill the prerequisites of the love. So fifth of all, which is weighty in the mizan and scale on the Day of Judgment, is ibra'u zimma lil matlub wal madyun. A person who is indebted, he borrowed loan from you. In lots of cases this happens in our life. People come, you are well off, you have make more money, you have your friends who are making less, and life has its own ups and downs for almost every single person, isn't it right? So you find if somebody is in need and he comes and borrows money from you, and you were able to give and lend him the money. Now he's unable to pay you back. The person passes away. If you forgive the money to the dead person who was indebted to you, who borrowed the money from you, this is one of those things that is so weighty and valuable in your mizan and scale on the Day of Judgment. You set him free. You made him bari from his burden. It's such a great thing. Quran says, وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ مَيْسَرَةٍ. So, in the light of this verse, we learn, وَأَنْ تَصَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Quran teaches us. So for those people who borrowed money from you and now they are unable to pay you back in the time the deadline arrives, if this person is unable to pay you back, Quran is teaching us فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ مَيْسَرَىٰ. We give him the muhlat and chance and margin until he is able to pay. So look at the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَن تَصَدَّقُوا. If you forgive him, خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. That's better. If we really know what are the benefits of forgiving somebody, we would jump into forgiving the people. What is the value of a few $1,000 or a few $100 in front of those rewards? It's just because we don't know. That's the way we behave like this some of the times. So Allah is teaching us to, if we forgive, that's better. وَلَّهُ مَقَالِدُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. For him are the, he has the keys to the heavens and earth. Isn't it right? He has all the treasures with him. He can pay you again. Isn't it right? He can pay you again. We need to have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a lot of weight. If you set a dead person indebted to you, borrowed money from you, if you set him free, it has a lot of. We have hadith from Tafsir al-Burhan where the Imam al-Baqir alayhi salatu was salam has said, please pay attention, يَبْعَثُ اللَّهُ أَقْوَامًا مِنْ تَحْتِ الْأَرْشِ وُجُوهُهُمْ مِنْ نُور لِبَاسُهُمْ مِنْ نُور جُلُوسٌ عَلَى كُرْسِيٍّ مِنْ نُور. Allah is going to resurrect nations from under his throne, Arsh. Their faces will be noor, their dresses will be noor and divine light, and they will be sitting on the chair of noor. People, when they would have a look at these kind of people sitting, coming from under the arsh of Allah, everybody is standing elsewhere in the open heat of the sun. There is no shadow on the day of judgment. There is no shadow on the day of judgment other than the shadow of the arsh, the throne. Isn't it right? There is no food to eat in the day of judgment. You want to be full, you have to arrange for the food from this dunya. Do things that will arrange for your, for your food. You are thirsty, there is no water to drink on the day of judgment unless you arrange for those things, those fountains from this dunya with your actions and beliefs. Isn't it right? So no shadow, no food, no water without you arranging it from here. So these people coming under the arsh of Allah, and people are going to ask, the narration teaches us, people will ask them, are these anbiya, the prophets? Yunadi munadin, an announcer will announce, they're not prophets. And people will ask, are they shuhada? Are they the martyrs? Because obviously prophets have a higher status, martyrs, fi sabilillah, have a higher status. So they will be told by this announcer, they are not the martyrs. So, وَلَكِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمٌ يُيَسِّرُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَيُنْذِرُونَ الْمُعْسِرَ. These are those believers who used to give chance to those who are unable to pay back the money. If you have somebody borrowing money from you and he is now unable to pay it back to you, you should, and the deadline has crossed, instead of holding him accountable, if you extend the deadline until he's able to pay, then you have a special place under the arsh of Allah, sitting on the kursi of noor, wearing the libas of noor, and your face is glittering with the noor of Allah. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
How much benefit do we get from coming in the madlis of Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam? Isn't it right? Our whole spirituality gets overhauled and cleaned from the inside. And not everybody has this opportunity to come and learn these teachings that will benefit us in both the worlds. Not everybody has the opportunity. And just like if you take a shower, if you take a bath in a running water stream, a river, A river's water is always cleaner, isn't it right, as compared to seawater? Hey, there's no doubt that all the dirt from your body will be removed if you take a bath in the running water. It's coming to the Madlis al-Aza of Sayyidu Shuhada alayhi salam is better than taking a bath in the running water, because our sins, our ignorances, our faults, our shortcomings, all are cleaned up. For those who are serious to get the knowledge and the noor of the ma'rifat. For those who are not serious, no one can change them. Please say salawat. Definitely, forgiving somebody requires sakhawat. Isn't it right? As sakhiyo, you need to be generous to forgive your loan to someone. As sakhiyo qareebun min Allah, قريب من الناس قريب إلى الجنة بعيد من النار. The hadith teaches a sakhi person is close to Allah, close to the people, close to the paradise, and away from the hell. والبخيل is بعيد من الله بعيد من الناس بعيد من الجنة قريب إلى النار. A miser is away from Allah, away from the people. Nobody loves misers, isn't it right? He has to be away from the people and away from the heaven and away and close to the hell. And the hadith says, shabun sakhiyun murhiqun fi dhunub, a young boy who is into the sins but he's generous, is more beloved in the eyes of Allah than an elderly man who is from min shaykhin abidin bakhil. From an elderly man who performs worships of Allah, but he is a miser. Shaykh has a lot of respect in Islam. Some of the ahadith say that a shaykh means an elderly person. An elderly person serves like a prophet in his town. A lot of respect to elderly people. We need to treat the elderly people like our fathers. But if an elderly person performs the worships of Allah, does the good deeds and obediences, he has one problem in his soul. He is not sakhi. Some of the religious people have these problems. They don't have sakhawat and karamat and nafs. They are so harsh in their attitudes and behaviors. Isn't right? Some people are into sins, but they have this great attribute that they have sakhawat and generosity. When it comes to spend for the sake of Ahlul Bayt, when it comes to spend for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Quran, they are ready to give, you know, day in and day out. If a young man is into the sins but he has sakhawat, is more beloved in the eyes of Allah than an old elderly person who performs ibadat of Allah but he's a miser. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has love and loves towards the sakhawat and generosity in Islam. So much that Prophet, when this daughter of Hatim At-Tai was a very generous person but a non-Muslim. When his daughter was captured in one of those battles that they attacked over Muslims and initiated that battle, and his daughter was one of the captives. And she said that my dad used to do so much sakhawat and generosity towards the people, never used to return back anyone who is asking for something from him. When Prophet heard that remark from her, Prophet said, Khallu anha, set her free. Fa'inna abaha mimma, because his father was one of those who have makarimul akhlaq, in other words. Look at the greatness of Rasulullah. As soon as he finds out somebody has those great moral attributes, Prophet is there to support that person. He set the non-Muslim attacker of Islam free because her father was generous. How much important is that in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we maintain the sakhawat? So it takes sakhawat to forgive the loan of somebody. You need to be generous, isn't it right? This is how it works. If you don't have the sakhawat, you will not be able to forgive the loan of somebody. So we find in the hadith, it is in the Mustadrak al-Wasail, سمعت أن نبي الله اطلع على ذات يوم. Once the Holy Prophet was in his own room and he heard there are two people, you know, almost like fighting. They are one person grabbing another one. Prophet cannot tolerate these kinds of scenarios, isn't it right? In front of his eyes, he will always go and try to resolve. He's rahmatan lil alameen. He's unlike us, unlike some of us. So Prophet went there and he asked about what's going on, and he was told that one person said, well, this person is indebted to me, he's supposed to pay me back. Finally I found him. So he must be searching for him for, you know, a while. In other words, now he found him, so he's asking for his money. Prophet said that man arada an yudhillahu Allah min fuh jahannam yawma la dhilla illa dhillahu falyunzir mu'siran. Whoever wants to be given a shadow under the dhill, under the shadow of Allah, on a day where there is no shadow except His shadow, he must give chance to a person who is unable to pay off. When he heard this statement, the prophets of Rasulullah, hadith of the Prophet has an impact on those souls which are receptive. If a soul is shaqi and stone-hearted, you find, you read hadith after hadith, the person always does ta'wil, trying to justify his own policy. Even after listening to the hadith, he's still justifying them inside his heart, justifying his own policy and making it sound good for himself. This is what in ilm al-akhlaq we call hijab. After listening to one verse, one hadith, second verse, second hadith, we still don't act on it and we try to justify our own ignorance-based policies. This knowledge now becomes hijab. What Imam Khomeini used to say, that knowledge is the biggest hijab among all the curtains available. There is no curtain thicker than the curtain of hijab, the curtain of ilm. When the ilm becomes a curtain, when we listen to the hadith and listen to the ayat, but we ignore it and we continue doing business as usual, what we think is right. Now this knowledge is now bound to become a curtain against us. Please say salawat. So he heard the hadith and it had an impact. It had an impact. Every hadith has an impact. Hadith has no problem. The problem is the recipient and the soul of the person. Some of the souls are recipient, they receive their nur straight away. Some souls have done so many sins that they are not ready to receive it straight away. Isn't it right? There's no problem to the hadith, no problem to the ayat. So now the person was ready to receive, his soul was ready to accept. He accepted and he said to that person who borrowed that, I forgave one third of the loan to you. In front of Rasulullah, he said, I forgave one third of the loan to you, and I give you a chance about the other one third. I give you a chance until you are able to pay. And the one third, pay me right now. When Prophet heard that statement, Prophet replies, Ma ahsana hada. What a nice thing is this. What a great thing, what a nice thing he did. In other words, what a nice thing that he has done. This is the giving the muhlat and chance to the person who has borrowed. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So one person, before I move forward, comes to Imam al-Baqir as-salam and asks money from the Imam. And Imam said to him that you're gonna pay me back when your harvest is sold, when the time of the harvest arrives. Ila ghallatin tudrak. He said, no, I won't be able to pay at that time. Imam said, "Ila tijaratin ta'ud," when your business works. He said, "No, even then I'm unable to pay." Then Imam said, "Ila uqdatin tuba," when your commodity is sold. He said, "No, even then I won't be able to pay." When he said that, what would we do? In a sinner like me, how would we behave? Okay, you are unable to pay, man, just walk away. Isn't it right? I can't take it. Isn't it right? Look at what Imam al-Baqir says to the person. You know, it's not easy to put the weight in the mizan. Look at what Imam al-Baqir says. فَأَنْتَ مِمَّنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْوَالِنَا حَقًّا. You are one of those people who has a haq and right on our money. That means it's your money that we have with us. If you are that poor, that means you have a right on our money. You need to get the money from us. This is how our imams are. Peace say salawat. Then he obviously paid the money to him. So we find that the next thing, which is saqil and weighty on the mizan, is the next thing is the ridal walidain, pleasure of your parents. If your parents are pleased with you, Allah said in His wahi to Prophet, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Do you know why I made you orphan?" Prophet was made orphan by Allah in his childhood because I knew carrying the burden of messengership, risalat, and carrying the burden of doing good towards your parents. In other words, ihsan bilwal, in other words, doing ihsan, good behavior, dutiful behavior towards your parents. Doing both these jobs are difficult for you. It will be difficult. So I made you orphan so that Prophet can do the job of risalat at a time. In other words, so this is how it is. We have responsibilities towards our parents that we need to fulfill. Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam says that he's afraid of eating food with his mother. Can you imagine? Because if mom was trying to pick up something from the food and he picks up ahead of the mother, then I'm blocking her from fulfilling. He's blocking the mother from fulfilling her desire, and this way Imam will become aq from his mother. So Imam Sajjad says he's afraid of eating food with his mother. You cannot block the mother from what she wants. This is what we learn, even to that extent. If you block your father from what he wants, if you block your mother from what she wants, you will become aq. How many people give importance of that level to their parents? So this is what, if your parents are radi and pleased with you, it has a weight in your mizan on the Day of Judgment. And the last thing that I would like to mention is the what we learn in the light of this narration. Angels come to the Holy Prophet on the Day of Judgment, and they have put a pearl in a container. A pearl belonging to somebody in a container. And they will come to the Holy Prophet and ask Rasulullah to weigh this pearl. Prophet sends, go to Ali on the Day of Judgment. Prophet sends the angels to Imam Ali. He redirects the angels towards Imam Ali alayhi salam. He's going to do the weighing of this pearl. Angels will then go to Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali alayhi salam says to them, go to Fatima, she would do it. In other words, so angels will then go to Fatima to Zahra salamullah alayha to weigh this pearl in the container belonging to a mu'min. She would redirect to Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Angels will then go to Imam Hassan alayhi salam for getting the weight. Let Imam Hassan weigh this pearl of a mu'min. Imam Hassan would ask the angels to go to Hussein. Hussein would do it. They will all rush to Imam Hussein. They will go to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When it comes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, this is the pearl, this is the drop of tear that mu'min has shed back then in the life of dunya over Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. this is the pearl, is in the form of pearl. This is the tear that a person sheds over Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Look at the wisdom of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Everyone is redirecting towards. Now finally it comes down to Imam al-Hussein. This is what he belongs. He's the one who's owner of that, isn't it? He has the ownership of this issue. So now Imam al-Hussein al-Islam's decision about the value of the pearl is that this person has to be my neighbor in paradise. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
There's one thing the hadith of Imam al-Sadiq al-Islam says, there's one thing for which Allah has not fixed a value yet. And that means all the ibadat in Islam has some fixed value. Salat has this much value in the eyes of Allah. Fasting, this much value. Hajj, that's the reward. Khums, this is the reward. Everything has a fixed value fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's one thing for which Allah did not fix a value, a price tag yet. And that is the drop of tear in the huzn and sorrow of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. How much beloved this drop of tear is. This works wonders for the personality of a person. It changes the person and transforms him from a bad doer to a good doer. You know, right? A person is into sins and fasiq, doing harams in his life, and he happens to, somebody tells him to show up in a madlis of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, and he comes in the madlis, that's the arrangement of Fatimah al-Zahra sallallahu alayha, and he ends up coming in the madlis al-Aza, and you find because of Imam al-Hussein, this person is transformed into a new human being, totally different person. Who can do that? Other than Imam Hussein, no one has the power to do that. Is it right? Shedding tears on Abi Abdullah. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah from the beginning of time of the birth of Imam Hussein. When Imam Hussein is delivered into the lap of Rasulullah, Prophet started to cry. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah from the beginning time. Al-Buka'u alal Hussein. Sunnat of Amir al-Mumin, whenever he used to look at Imam Hussein, he used to cry. Sunnat of Fatimah al-Zahra. Sunnat of every single Prophet of Allah without exception. You can hardly find things which are sunnat of every Prophet without exception. Isn't it right? This is al-Buka'u al-Hussein is so great. Everyone is a partner in that ibadat. Everyone does the same. And this is the same that was done by whom? Qasim ibn al-Hasan. So much he cried so much, the narration says that both of them, the uncle and the son of his brother, Imam Hussein and Qasim ibn al-Hasan, both of them cried so much they fell down unconscious. Both of them were crying. Why was the crying? Well, let's go back to the night before Ashura. Imam al-Hussein is in the tent of Abu al-Fadl Abbas alayhi salam, talking about the Diwan al-Shahada, the book of Shahada. Who is going to become Shaheed tomorrow? Mentioning the names of the Shuhada one after the other. Some of the narrations tell us Imam Hussein even showed the levels inside the paradise to each of his companions. Definitely all of them were Ahlul Yaqeen, they deserve to be showed. Isn't it right? Ahlul Yaqeen deserve that status. So in the tent of Abu al-Fadl Abbas, and the names are being mentioned, all of them. But he did not mention the name of Qasim ibn al-Hasan. You know, 13-year-old, approximately 13-year-old boy, how would you feel, you know, when a person like Qasim, who has been striving to become Shaheed and sacrifice his life in the love of his uncle Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, since his early times he wanted that. This is a value he wanted to pursue, he pursued throughout his life. That's how he was raised by Imam al-Hussein. Isn't it right? He's part of Ahlul Bayt. Shahadat is their constant value and karamat of Ahlul Bayt. So now Qasim ibn Hasan stands up, goes to a corner and starts crying because his name is not mentioned among the list of the shuhada and martyrs. He can't stand it. He had been wanting to become shaheed. Now, but his name is not mentioned by his uncle Hussein. And now he cried and cried, and finally it came into his mind that my dad gave me a ta'weez, a uda, something, and you know, he gave me a written thing, you know, so what can be a more disturbing time for me? Then so he opens up that written document from his late Shaheed father, Imam al-Hasan. As soon as he opens that, he finds that Imam al-Hasan had written that Bunayya Qasim Adrik Ammaka al-Hussein. That my son Qasim, go for the help of your uncle Hussein. In some of the narrations we learn, Madmun riwayah, إِذَا رَعَيْتَ عَمَّكَ غَرِيبًا وَحِيدًا فَرِيدًا. When you find your uncle lonely, alone, this is where you need to help him. In other words, Qasim became, now there is no longer tears. The narration tells us the tears stopped. Now Qasim is happy. He found a document that is going to secure his shahadat, inshallah. He becomes happy. He comes to Imam al-Hussein, to his uncle, gives away that document written by his dad. Imam Hussein sees the writing of his brother. Obviously, you know, it's so amazing to see anything that belongs to a brother like Hussein, Hassan alayhi salam. Imam says to Qasim that you will become shaheed. I just didn't say you mention your name. In other words, you're going to be shaheed, and even Ali ibn al-Asghar is also going to be shaheed. When Qasim hears that, his ghairat cannot tolerate. How can a baby become shaheed? Hal yasaluna ila al-qiyam? Are the enemies going to reach into the tents? Then Imam al-Hussein, look at the ghairat of Qasim ibn al-Hasan. Imam consoles him by saying that I am going to take Ali Asghar towards the maqtal, in other words. But I would like to say to Mawla Qasim ibn al-Hasan that please come in the time of the Asr of Ashura, where these Ashqiya are attacking the Khiyam and they are setting fire over the tents. We find that tomorrow, the next day, the Ashura comes. Obviously, Qasim's turn arrives. He comes to his uncle Hussein alayhi salam to seek the permission, you know. But how would Imam Hussein is not giving the permission to him? How can Imam Hussein, everybody is going to be shaheed, but it is really hard for a person like Imam Hussein to allow the son of his own brother to become shaheed in front of his eyes. It's really hard, you know. Imam Hussein is not allowing him. In the narration says, Qasim did a unique thing. He started to kiss the feet of his uncle Hussein. Qasim is now kissing the feet of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. You know, Imam al-Hussein, and some of the narrations say he put his head over the feet of Imam al-Hussein. Some of the narrations say he started to kiss the hands of Imam al-Hussein. Imam raises him, hugs him, and they both of them cried so much that both of them fell unconscious over the ground. And now who would come to help them out, to bring them back in the conscience? No one else other than Sayyida Zainab salamullah alayha. She comes towards the maqtal and she comes there. And now, but how can Zainab bring them back into conscience? You need water. You spray water on the face of somebody who is unconscious. She doesn't have any water there. No, but the tears of Zainab are falling over the face of Imam Mazloom Hussein. Imam opens up the eyes. Finally, Qasim is given the permission. Now Imam places the amama over the head of Qasim when he's sending him towards the maqtal. And you know what? Imam opens the two sides of the amama, taht al-hanak, on the chest, over the chest of Qasim. If you have read among the adab of mayyit, it has been mentioned that you put an amama over the head of the mayyit.
al-mayyit, it is mustahab. And also open the two sides of the amama. Maybe, you know, my heart thinks, maybe Imam al-Hussein ihtimalan is trying to say that, you know, let me decorate it. Obviously, Qasim is going to go towards the maqtal. Now Qasim departs towards the maqtal, 13-year-old boy. And finally, after the jihad, and he falls down over the maidan of Karbala, and the horses go from one side to the other, from that side to the other. Imam Hussein rushes towards his...
على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين Let's read the آية الكريمة for all the mu'mineen, especially those who have sponsored all these majalis, provided the food for the mu'mineen and any sort of services for the mu'mineen for their hajat shar'iyya and their tawfiqat, and all the mu'mineen who are ill, those who have requested for dua, all the mustad'afin and mahrumin and mazlumin, and for the maghfirat of all the mu'mineen and mu'minat, especially our shuhada, especially those mu'mineen who are defending the haram of Sayyidina Zainab sallallahu alayha. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Amman yujibul muhtarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu su'. Amman yujibul muhtarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu su'. Amman yujibul muhtarra idha da'ah هو يكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء Please recite one Surah Al-Fatiha for the mother of Hajj Islam Maulana Qaisar Abbas, respected scholar. His mom passed away yesterday. For her maghfirat, please recite one Surah Al-Fatiha. Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein.